Turn off your lights. Make sure your doors and windows are locked. Things are about to get spooky. Creature in the Woods by Normie Americana. So please bear with me while I explain this. I have a feeling it'll be a little long, but the context here is important. So this happened about 4 years ago. I used to live in a very rural part of North Carolina, in the Trad/Foothills area. I was 17 at the time. My house was in the woods about a football's field length away from the road, which wasn't a major one, just a back road. We did have neighbors on one side, and they were pretty close, separated by maybe 10 yards and some trees, but on the other side, there was a few acres between us and the nearest house. Behind our house was acres and acres of field and woods. There was also a pond down there as well. It's important later. Now to the encounter. So we had a dog at the time, and he had a lot we put him in at night to sleep in. It was nestled in the very edge of the woods, about 100 feet from our house, and it was about 7 to 9 at night, and it was winter, probably January to February. Don't remember exactly, but I do know the holidays were over. I was taking our dog out to the lot. I had his metal food bowl in hand and a phone in the other. I got about halfway to his lot and felt weird. I did freak myself out taking him out sometimes, so this wasn't particularly extraordinary. So I shined my flashlight on the edge of the woods near his lot, where it slopes down a little, and was further into the woods. When I did this, I saw two glowing white eyes looking back at me. They're about 3 to 3.5 feet off the ground. My mind deducted it couldn't be a squirrel or a small animal. So I immediately yelled for our dog, dropped his food bowl, which made an extremely loud racket, metal on concrete, and ran in. I came in freaked out saying I saw something in the woods and I was not going back out. My mom said I was being dramatic and that it was a deer and she'd go with me. I felt very confident after the racket I made, whatever it was would have left, and so we went with her to take him back out. We walked out and I shined my light where the eyes were, and the eyes were still there, just as bright and staring right at us. My mom got freaked out and we ran inside again. She came in and told my stepdad I was right and was freaked out, saying there was a man sitting down there in the woods. My stepdad then went out there with a real flashlight and a gun and we followed. He shined it back in the spot and there the eyes were. He yelled, "Hey," real loud. This is when I got the best look at it. The eyes were 100% about 3 to 3.5 feet off the ground. It stared right at us and then walked sideways, not breaking eye contact, very fluid, and then went off into the woods. We never heard a sound, no leaves breaking, no twigs snapping, nothing. Never saw anything like it since, and every time I took my dog out, I never saw anything like that again, despite checking every time. Some follow-up stuff to this. Before anyone asks, I don't know how my dog was acting. At the time, I was too scared to pay attention to it. I do know he would sometimes eat possums and skunks that fall into his lot and would bark at other stuff like deer and foxes. The whole encounter, he was silent and ran inside with us and stayed close with us. The land behind the house, I'm almost certain, is native land. Way behind the house, up on the hill overlooking the pond, are stones in the ground, about 2 to 3 with markings on them. With certainty, I can say the inscriptions are old and are definitely a form of writing. They're very weathered, not fresh at all, and precisely drawn lines with parallels and equal spacing between markings. We've also found arrowheads in the area. We jokingly call it the Indian burial ground, but from my research, natives in North Carolina rarely practice burial like this with headstones. So I'm not sure what it is, but I'm pretty certain it is native, if not older. The pond. I always got a weird vibe down by the pond fishing. Always. It was a natural pond / spring, but my stepdad turned into a larger pond when he had cows and stocked it with more fish. There's a large slope you have to walk down surrounded by baby pine trees on each side. There's a small circle area right before you go down the hill to the pond, and in the clearing we used to find a lot of bones. I mean, a lot. There'd be about 3 to 4 piles of fish and snake bones neatly in a pile, normally all missing the head part. This pond is not close to where I had the encounter. It's close to the other side of the property, but still on our property. Crow's Head. Back in this area where I got weird vibes, my stepdad had an old fence post separating his land from the neighbor's. It's an overgrown field slash pasture on one side and straight up woods on the other. The neighbor did come back here sometimes, but normally just to ride ATVs. Anyways, one day in the summer I went back there with friends, and in the very back line of the property was a crow's head stuck on the fence post. It was super freaky and we dipped. Now, I've seen this before at my grandpa's house. That time when I saw it, it was on a fence post around his garden, and he told me you do that, if crows are eating your garden, they'll stay away. However, when I saw it at a house, there had never been a garden anywhere near that fence post or close to that area at all. I'm posting this story mainly because I'm curious what you guys think it is. I can assure you, this creature wasn't any small critter like a squirrel or a raccoon or even a deer. I've debunked these myself because the eyes were too big and too high to belong to any small critters, and a deer would 100% have run away after all the racket and noise we made, and my stepdad yelling. We saw deer routinely, and they're very skittish as their prey animals. The only animal I think it could be would be a black bear, a mountain lion, or a bobcat. And I lean more towards a feline because it moved extremely fluidly and smooth. The issue with this is a mountain lions aren't found in North Carolina, and bobcats are native but would be too small to fit the height of the eyes. A black bear is possible, but also very, very rare to find the area I lived in. You find them mostly in the mountains. Also, I would think a black bear would have made more noise, like grunting, and moved not so fluidly. It's a small community and everyone knows everyone pretty much, and everyone in the area hunts, and there's a lot of game trails out there. Usually when someone spots something out of the ordinary, bear, bobcat, big buck, it's the talk of the town, but no one mentioned seeing something weird in the area at the time. Curious what you guys have to say about the encounter. I add the info about the native land, the crow head, and the pond in case these are signs of cryptids, and could be useful in identifying it as it's paranormal. It could be completely coincidental and not related, but just thought it could be potentially important. Thanks so much for listening this far, and I look forward to feedback. My black cat always runs around the house at night, and all I can usually make out is his yellow eyes. My heart sunk when I was carrying him around the kitchen, and the same yellow eyes were glaring at me from around the corner. Haunting at the Barn by Bored Cons. Yesterday night, me, my boyfriend, and our friends were playing hide-and-go-seek on their property, Big Western Horse property in Western Oregon. We agreed on having no lights on the barn slash area, so we couldn't see anything. Anyway, me and my boyfriend were searching. I was in the barn, and he was waiting outside where he could see the entrance. While I was in there, I heard footsteps and whispers clear as day. So of course I thought they were in there and coming my way. I hid to get them when they walked past me. When no one came for several minutes, I got out of the barn, paired up with my boyfriend again, and continued searching. We went back to the barn after a while and were hiding up in an alley when we heard the barn door to the training bar wing open, footsteps coming towards us, and my boyfriend said he heard our one friend, Hope, whisper our other friend's Randy's name. Not much later, I heard Randy clearly whisper hope and footsteps coming from the alley up to the round pen, so I told my boyfriend to block the other alley leading up to it while I sneaked there so we can finally get them. But no. We had a few other whispering encounters in the barn during our little game, and when we called them on the phone outside the barn to finally give up, they came to meet us, saying they weren't in the barn till like the last 5 minutes of the game. We told them about our encounters, and Hope, the rancher's daughter, told us that their clients have heard similar stuff. This morning, her mom asked how it went, so we told her. We got to know a lot more about this barn while talking to her about it. Before they bought the property, there was only a couple and their few horses. The other stalls and stuff weren't used at all. And that guy died while working on something in the area. They've had orbs, whispering, footsteps, cold spots, shadow figures peeking around corners and standing just in the corner of your eye. Energies in the cow's pen and something in the corner of the area that would spook even the most broke horse. The rancher's wife got sick of the latter since it would spook her daughter's horse, and one day she got really pissed, so she took a whip, went to the corner, whipped the area and the wall, and told whatever it was in there to get the fuck out. When she put the whip over her shoulder, something tugged on it twice, and you bet she noped out of there. So, what do you all think of that? Mr. Smith, the biology teacher, found virtual teaching very tough to get to know his students. How else would he know which student would be the perfect to add to his collection of skeletons to teach anatomy with? Hunter Report, Ancient Giant Presence in Papua New Guinea, by John Pepe. Hello everyone, hello Reddit. Over the festive season, my daughter persuaded me to post one of my stories from my early years on your platform. To be completely frank with you, some of the questions that I'm about to raise here are still bothering me to this day. So the story is about hunting. At the time, I was 17 and living in Papua New Guinea, a large archipelago in the southern western Pacific Ocean. My parents were French, but I was born in Papua New Guinea and I had spent my entire childhood surrounded by native Papuans. I considered them my brothers, and they considered me one of theirs. One of my friends was a boy my age called Cam. He lived in my neighborhood, and we went to the same class for a long time, so we were very close. I say were because we haven't seen each other for a long time. He and I shared a passion for hunting and fishing. We spent our weekends in the lush forest woods behind my house, chasing small prey and birds. I've amassed an enormous number of memories and hunting stories, and experienced as many laughed-out-loud moments as painful and frightening ones. We also gather a lot of experience and equipment. During these hunting trips, the peak of excitement, the real trophy, was the big prey, and in particular, the deers. But they were rare in the small woods that bordered our neighborhood, and we barely ever saw any. To find one, you really had to go deep into the jungle. So, during the holiday seasons, we asked Cam's big brother to give us a lift in his 4x4. And he accompanied us on our expedition into the prehistoric flora and fauna. This time, Cam's older brother had guided us to a hunting area I'd never been to before. We arrived very early in the morning, armed and equipped ourselves, and set off into the jungle in silence. To describe the atmosphere, the inside of the jungle is like a burning oven. We were forced to wear nothing but our underwear because it was so hot. The air was also extremely humid, with drops constantly falling from the trees even though it wasn't raining, and the ground was made of slimy, sticky mud. Not to mention all the insects and vegetation that constantly irritate our skin. Hell on earth, but it was really fun. We also could hear the monkeys calling and the birds singing through the forest. There was never a moment of silence. We concentrated on listening to the animals' footsteps, following their tracks in the mud, picking up any dung we came across, and vigilantly observing our surroundings. That day, we wanted to go deeper into the jungle. To my surprise, my two friends took an abnormally long detour that made no sense to me. As we were wasting time and energy when the primary forest was practically impracticable. But I thought they knew the area better than I did, and that the landscape I was seeing was magnificent, so I didn't say anything. After 4 or 5 hours of walking, we came to a watering hole, which looked like a heavenly little swamp. It was a good sign, so we stopped, had a drink, then hid, rifles in hand. After 40 minutes of silence, perhaps an hour, a pair of deer appeared near the watering hole. Feeling the excitement and adrenaline pumping, I slowed my heart rate and took aim at the buck. Then the three of us fired in chorus. It made a terrifying bang, a triple rifle shot that instantly struck down the prey. All the animals in the vicinity fled and all the local birds flew away. I'm not an animal sadist, and violence isn't my favorite thing about hunting, but I have to admit that seeing the deer fall into our hands gave us all great joy. Then we tied up the animal's legs to carry it to the 4x4, but instead of taking the most direct way and clipping through the area we avoided at the inbound, Cam headed off in the direction of the detour. I argued that there was no point and we were wasting our time. Then Cam responded with a bewildered answer. He said, "Our traditions forbid us to pass through these lands because it was here that our ancestors killed the last giant." His tone was serious and solemn, and his eyes betrayed neither lies nor humor. I didn't try to argue any further, and we head back to the 4x4 via the diversions. At the time, I was really surprised by the mystical response, but then I was able to relay it to another story I heard from another native, Vili, the sister of a friend of mine. As part of her job, she had to terraform a parcel of land that was in a forest in order to build houses. When she and her team were excavating the ground to build the foundations, they made an outstanding discovery. 4 human skeletons, the largest over 5 meters tall. Naturally, they called in some paleoanthropologist consultants from France. Scientists and soldiers arrived in a hurry the next day. They strictly forbid access to the area to anyone who wanted to go near it. A few days later, the scientists left, taking the bones with them, and assuring Vela and the other witnesses that the incident had never happened. That's all I have to say. I haven't managed to get to the bottom of this mystery, which the islanders find hard to talk about. I've done some research into them, and some legends claim that these giants were the result of crossbreeding between humans and extraterrestrial race known as the Nordics, the Tall Blondes, or the Ilithiums of the Bible. Do what you like with this information. Also, I never seen any giants myself, but the people around me believe in their existence very hard, and the legends circulate. Kill one child of your choice, or both will die, I say to the mother as I have every other victim, awaiting the delight her despair will bring me. My blood went cold as she shot the daughter without a second thought. Our Experience with Automatic Writing by Pokemon Trainer 29. My husband and I have been watching a lot of Sam and Kobe lately and are absolutely addicted. We've also been watching Selena Spooky Boo and Chris. If you like ghost hunting shows, I highly recommend both YouTube channels. Of all the methods they use to contact spirits, we are both very interested in the automatic writing that Selena likes to use a lot. My husband tends to be very in tune with the spiritual side and has had success with meditation in the past, so the other night we decided to give it a try. First, some background info. I, 30 male, met my husband, 29 male, back in 2012. In 2013, my husband's uncle passed away by unaliving himself, and we, along with my future in-laws, moved into the house where his uncle lived with his parents, who would be my husband's grandparents. From 2013 to 2016, both of these grandparents and also his great-grandmother would also pass away. Needless to say, there were plenty of people that could possibly come through for my husband, so he found a white noise playlist on Spotify, blindfolded himself, and we started. I said what everyone says at first: is there anyone here that would like to speak with my husband? At first, there was nothing, but eventually the pen started to move and the first word appeared, rough but distinctive: box. I honestly wasn't expecting a word to appear right away. I should point out that my husband has a very, very neat handwriting and almost exclusively writes in cursive, but this word was very shaky and jagged. I said the word out loud and waited. Eventually, my husband wrote a second word, under. Just under the word box, but in cursive this time. I was a little spooked that this could actually be making sense, so I said nothing and let him continue. He started writing a third word, this time almost on the edge of the paper away from the first two words. But it was again very clear: bed. Box under bed. There's no way this is actually working, I thought to myself. But I went ahead and asked hesitantly, "What's in the box?" Almost instantly, his hand went to the middle of the paper and very quickly wrote, "Me." Instantly freaked out, I tapped my husband's shoulder to take him out of the session. He asked why I took him out so quickly. It had been maybe 2 minutes, and I showed him what he wrote. He sat and stared at the words for a minute, then let out a small gasp. One of all the people who had recently lived in the house and passed away, there was still one who had not been laid to rest. His grandfather's ashes were in a box downstairs in his parents' closet. One of his latest wishes was to be buried here on the property he helped nurture for so many years rather than be buried in a cemetery, but my husband's parents just hadn't gotten around to it. The closet is almost directly under where one of the beds would have been when he was alive, and now a futon sits there that my husband frequently naps on. With this information, my husband asked if he could try again. I was a little apprehensive, but said yes, and he went under again. This time, I waited before I said anything, just to see what would happen. After a few seconds, he began writing. I looked over his shoulder and saw the word tree. He started drawing what I thought looked like a cloud, but he stopped with just the top of it. He then drew two lines coming from the cloud-like object. I quickly realized I was looking at a drawing of what he had just wrote, a tree. After another few seconds, he started to write another word. I looked down and almost couldn't believe what he wrote next, buried, followed by intense underline the tree drawing. He wanted to be buried by a tree. Now, I know what some of you might say, that my husband had a preconceived notion of who he was talking to, and may even fake what he was writing. After we were done, my husband assured me that he had next to no idea what he actually was writing. We've been together for over 10 years, so he has no reasons to lie about something like this. Believe what you want to believe, but for those who do believe, there's more. He continued, and the next words he wrote were tree and me again. He then began drawing the cloud-shaped object again, which I eventually recognized as the top of a tree, but this time there was no tree trunk, just leaves, and there were some dot-like objects after, almost like an eclipse. Then suddenly he wrote the word "don't" in all caps. At this point, I hadn't really said much, but I was convinced about the word don't. So I decided to ask if this was indeed grandfather's name. My husband wrote two of the same words again, tree and berry. The word berry overlapped the word don't, so I turned the page for him. The last bit is honestly a little hazy to me, but the first thing he did on the new page was draw some type of jagged symbol. We still don't quite know what it is or what it means, but after that he wrote the word yes. The only yes or no question I had asked was if this really was his grandfather. He then wrote the word closet, which would make sense because his ashes were in a closet, and then the word stairs. As I was trying to figure out what stairs had to do with anything, my husband wrote the final word, please. With that, I decided to go ahead and tap on my husband's shoulder and bring him out of the session. We then talked about everything that had happened. His grandfather absolutely loved everything about nature, flowers, and animals. So it made sense that we'd ask to be buried outside after spending the last 8 or so years in a closet. Oddly enough, at one point my in-laws had even talked about burying one of those trees that you plant with loved ones' ashes, so the tree part made a lot of sense too. Also, his grandfather used to tell my husband when he was a kid that he wanted to be buried in his garden. The tree with no trunk and then the word don't after symbolized to us that he didn't want to be buried in his garden, but rather near or as a tree instead. We still don't know what the stairs was about, but the weird symbol thing almost looked like a flight of stairs. I'll post a picture in the comments if I can, but let me know what you guys think. I promise it's 100% real and we're still talking about it days later. We made plans to make sure we lay him to rest this coming spring. And I'm going to put on screen right now for you guys all three pictures that he posted. We sat in our car at a hill overlooking the city like we were teenagers again, and she gave me the saddest smile as she squeezed my hand. She watched as the bombs went off and all of our friends and family, everything important in our lives, incinerated in a nuclear glow, and she turned to me then as a shockwave roared towards us. I love you. Spirits, Ghosts, Poltergeists, Apparitions, etc. By Potential Length 4133. Hey everyone. I thought I'd give a little information about what the paranormal is according to Islamic perspective, and hopefully others, when they experience any paranormal event, that they know what to expect and how to repel them. Here's what I can tell you based on our perspective as Muslims. When we talk about the afterlife, we're referring to people's spirits in their graves and can communicate with the living, but through certain ways such as dreams. However, we believe that the deceased can't in no way or form harm or benefit to anyone, basically meaning they have no power whatsoever to do anything. What you're talking about, however, demons, spirits, and whatnot are what we call jinn. What are the jinn? The jinn are living, sentient beings who, like humans, have free will, do all sorts of things and have communities, get married, procreate, you name it. However, there are certain things that they have and we don't, such as moving at incredible speeds, possessions, shape-shifting to living creatures and imitating their voice, behavior, and so on. And the ability to not be seen by humanity unless they want to be seen by them. Either as shadow people, animals, humans, you name it. However, you might ask, how can sometimes they, the jinn, say things that you might know and no one else knows? Well, according to our scriptures, a Quran, Arabic for companion, which is a jinn who follows you wherever you go, which is also the reason why sometimes mediums and fortune tellers can tell you things about yourself since they communicate with a Quinn. That Quinn usually is a Jinn who either junks about you and gives them your information. The Jinn vary from generally nice Jinn who wish you no harm and just want to go about their usual day. Others are pranksters that like scaring people, just for the fun of it. Others are downright evil and wish nothing but harm to you, whether by leading you astray or trying to literally hurt you. And these are the ones that we call devils. Shaitan, and that includes Satan. In Islam, we believe he's a jinn too and not a fallen angel. Not to mention that there are weak jinn and there are really powerful jinn. Usually the powerful variations of them are called ifrits, and they have the power to move heavy things with little effort. So we believe that the jinn also have different beliefs. There are Muslim jinns and non-Muslim jinns and so on. And the word of the Quran can be effective too, especially when it comes to hauntings and such. If they're Muslim, they can enjoin the Quran and can even read it with you. Usually when the name of Allah is invoked by reciting the Quran, the evil ones can get hurt by it and can be repelled by the word of the Quran. And it's an important factor that everyone needs to know. The jinn can try and scare you. However, once they know that no matter what they do can't scare you, they eventually give up and they stop scaring you because it's not fun. So they will eventually stop. However, if the jinn is literally trying to hurt you, such as random scratches, things falling on you without any reasonable explanation, some kind of medical condition that can't be explained, and by that, when they check on you and find that there is nothing wrong with you clinically, which are usually signs of possession, then the only way for that jinn to leave you is by having a Muslim imam or a cleric to read the Quran to you. So, there are a few things I want to share for people to understand the paranormal from an Islamic point of view. I hope you enjoyed this humble post and have learned something interesting. Thanks. I tried to force my way off the plane, as it was now 5 hours late, but was tackled to the ground by the air marshal and then heavily sedated to keep me docile. I could feel my body beginning to change while gazing out the window at the full moon, and felt no sympathy knowing that I was about to rip apart everyone else on board. And with that, our time together is coming to an end. As always, I'd like to thank the writers who let me read their stories this evening. These stories were a little different than normal. I wouldn't categorize most of them as normal paranormal stories / ghost stories. I had heard of automatic writing, but I'd never seen it or really looked too much into it. I didn't know it was actually someone, you know, basically writing something. It was interesting to actually read. Then we had the two that were a little bit closer to normal, like the creature in the woods and the barn being very haunted. And then the other two were more folklore. We had the one about the Papua New Guinea giants and how certain land is sacred. And then we had one about the Islamic people and their belief system and the jinn. I had heard of jinn before, but I assumed they were basically like devils, always evil spirits, not that some of them could be good and do nice things. That was interesting and different for me. I do hope you guys enjoyed these as well. I like to give you different perspectives and points of views of times. Really, learning how other people think and see things has always been fascinating to me, so I hope you guys feel the same. As always, I hope you guys enjoyed these stories this evening. If you're on a platform that allows it, please leave me a review. And if you're on Spotify, I even put questions and polls up for you guys to answer as well. If you know anyone who might enjoy this podcast as well, please share it with them. And if you'd like to help in other ways, I do have Patreon and YouTube memberships where you get early access to these audios. And if you'd like to do a one-time donation, I do have PayPal and Buy Me a Coffee as well. All the links, including the ones to my socials, website, and everything else you might ever need, is in the show notes for you guys. But as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. It always has and always will mean the world to me. Sleep tight and don't let 42 bite.